Size does matter, and in this case, more than a script, characters, or good CGI. We saw Godzilla, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas.
How are you?
Very good. And June Diane Raphael, how are you?
Hello.
We have a very special guest today on the show. You might know him as the creator of Film Threat Magazine. He is on a G4's Attack of the Show and has a brand new podcast called Pod Crash. Please welcome Chris Gore.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here.
We are very excited to talk about Godzilla 1988.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. So,
1988.
You mean 1998?
Oh, sorry, 98.
I was just going to, like, you almost just blew my mind.
I was like, this is an amazing movie.
And I was going to say, that would explain why Matthew Broderick looked that young.
And I want to thank you for not having me on your Heart Beeps episode, because it would have been a three-parter, right? Three-parter at least.
Oh, man, Andy Kaufman, right? That was Heart Beeps. I just remember, this is a movie, personally, that I remember being so excited for in the theater. I saw it, like, opening day.
Really?
Got, like, they were giving out free t-shirts on a line, and it was like, size does matter. And it was, like, they only had XXLs. And like, you know, like...
And at the time, you were obese.
Oh, it was huge. I was just...
So it fit pretty snug.
Before I started eating Subway sandwiches. And I just remember, like, being so disappointed at this movie, because it was like... Such a bummer.
The marketing was great. I mean, those trailers, the teaser trailers that basically showed you nothing, just people in New York in fear.
Yeah.
I was so pumped. I was just like you. I couldn't wait for the toys.
Yeah, it was, everything was cool. I remember that even like New York Post had a thing called Now You See Him, and like the day before the movie came out, they had like printed stills of Godzilla, because everyone
really
hates what this Godzilla looks like, because he doesn't look like Godzilla.
Yeah.
He looks like a big... lizard.
It basically is. This is basically like a Jurassic Park grab.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
this is basically just like, how can we do a Jurassic Park movie without it being Jurassic Park? Well, what if we just make it Godzilla, but it still looks like a Tyrannosaurus Rex in New York City?
And I mean, and then they even have their. I mean, Godzilla and the spoiler alert, has babies in this movie that
Godzilla,
are just raptors.
He They're has
just,
babies.
Yeah.
Godzilla,
he has babies.
A male reptile, just has babies.
All right, well, let's
babies having babies, guys.
I think to talk to Jason's point, Matthew Broderick, this movie came out in 1988. It is
98.
No, so why do I keep on doing that?
Wow.
Man, I'm reading it, too. 98. He looks like he aged like three decades in this time. Like, he looks like a young man.
From then until now, he literally has like opposite Benjamin Button disease.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick.
He still looks like Ferris Bueller in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, in the beginning, he's acting like Ferris Bueller. He's got his Walkman on, and he's singing, and he's ba-ba-ba.
What's so weird about the whole tone of the movie is it's not, there's no fear. There's just this sort of, especially with the fanciful music, like, ding-ding-a-ling-ding-ding-ding. There's so much just dumb humor.
Tens of thousands of people die.
Right.
While a dinosaur is loose.
Yeah.
Well, that's
a giant dinosaur is loose.
That's the whole thing, is like, no one gives a shit. This is a dinosaur. There is a hole in the MetLife building, or the old Pan Am building. Literally, Godzilla went through it, and the mayor's like, oh, you made me evacuate this city for nothing?
Yeah.
No! There's a fucking dinosaur running around. Like, no one cares. Like,
the only time they get pissed is when they realize Madison Square Garden's under attack. Yeah. That's the only time New Yorkers get pissed.
Doesn't,
And that mayor that you talked about is supposed to be Roger Ebert.
Right. His name is Ebert, and his right-hand man is his Gene.
His right-hand man is Gene.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
And the whole thing is that, like, I remember when it came out, even they hated it, even though they're referenced in the movie.
Yeah.
It's obviously them.
Well, you know, I think the reason why they were referencing the movie is because Ebert, Siskel and Ebert, gave Independence Day a bad review.
Right.
And so he wanted to, like, so he makes Ebert eat all the time. He's like, I want these snacks. He's like, oh Mr. Mayor, you can't eat this candy until after the... And all the billboards around town are like, thumbs up for Mayor Ebert. Like,
I did feel that part, though. Like, I did when he was eating candy. Like, I remember on 9/11, I ate like five bagels within the first hour. My response was just to eat everything I could find.
You're like, let me carbo load right now.
But it's bizarre because what's so funny is it makes you miss the man in a rubber suit.
Yes.
This actually makes you go, you know what? These effects might be better, technically speaking, but I miss a guy in a rubber suit. And the whole thing is, in the old Godzilla movies, all those actors took it so deadly seriously.
Yeah.
The generals, and they were all serious. In this, they're just sort of goofy. And the worst part is the one guy who's giving orders has a stutter.
Yes.
To make sure to shoot the missiles.
Yeah. It was like, but that was
which
like clear.
Was awful.
I
was
but like, by the that? Way, I don't know if you noticed, but by the end, when he sort of has his big moment, he loses the stutter.
Oh.
He has a baby arc of his own.
That guy thought his career was going to explode out of
every
it.
One of those characters.
I thought he was okay.
But every what one happened of those, to that? I liked that curly haired girl,
Maria Patillo.
Who is that?
Maria Patillo, I checked out. She has not done much after this movie.
Right? Because, yes. But I was like, this Audrey girl Timmons. Is cute. What's her story?
Okay, but by the way, her whole... I love the fact that she felt that
her, last
her hair for, was holding her back.
Yeah,
her hair,
yeah.
Having that hair down was holding her career back.
Right, she was a newspaper though, a newspaper researcher? Or
she wanted to be a reporter, a journalist, but had fallen into being just Harry Shearer's assistant for years.
Who but, then like really... Really bluntly says, like, I want to fuck you.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's like, why don't we talk about the promotion at your house for dinner tonight?
That
aren't
was
you
the
married?
One thing I feel like I missed about the 90s, just blatant sexism. Like, no questions about it.
We can bring it back.
No, great.
Junior, a screenwriter, you could do it.
Well, I mean, there's literally a part in here where Animal, Hank Azaria's character,
yeah.
Animal, the cameraman, his girlfriend calls him a retard.
I'm yes.
Like, you would never see that in a mainstream movie.
Right.
Like, it's like, you retard.
She calls him a wop as well.
But speaking
you
of that,
dumb wop. I was like, what?
That girlfriend.
What is this movie?
Baby Joan Cusack.
Hank Azaria's girlfriend is played by a woman named Arabella Field, who was in a screenwriting class of mine. I did this
oh,
thing
really?
Called, I did this thing called Writer's Boot Camp. She was in it.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where she's like, yes, I was in Godzilla and I remembered her. And it was just like, hey, this is where I had to learn acting, where I had to, because you ever run into like people that you know and then like you've been in horrible movies, you feel terrible and you have to go, oh, it's great that you got work.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
you
can't
talk about
the working.
You can't, you can't talk about the movie. You can just be like, that was great. Yeah, I heard you got that. Great job.
Yeah.
But there are so many things in this movie that I was like we haven't talked even a, we haven't even set up really like the nonsense of it.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Like, or Jean Renault, or like there, like the fact that like there's a surreptitious French organization behind the scenes of almost the whole movie makes no sense.
Yeah, can someone explain that to me? I never got to the bottom.
Well,
of
basically, what happens is you don't know how Godzilla is created. Really, you just see like this opening title sequence where there's a lizard and there's some nuclear testing. Then all
and
of a sudden,
all the lizards, it's like two dozen lizards watching a nuclear explosion happen.
They got good front row seats for it. And then one of them happened to, I guess, become Godzilla. It attacks a Japanese fishing boat. And then
Japanese fishing boat where the captain is just watching sumo and eating noodles.
Yes.
Like, again. every insane kind of, like, it might as well be driving the boat poorly.
It's like, in Speed 2 where the people were on the boat watching boat disaster movies. It's like, we need to just bring it. So Godzilla attacks, and now, and it keeps, like, kind of Godzilla somehow goes all the way from the Pacific Ocean all the way to New York.
Yeah.
He's made some kind of
no time at all.
But then also that French guy somehow gets into the doctor's room where this old...
Holy shit, this scene is crazy.
That was one of the craziest scenes in the movie.
But it's
there's one survivor. There's one Japanese...
Of the Japanese fishing boat,
sailor survivor, I think, was the cook on the ship.
Where all the knives fell around him and stuck into the floor.
That was amazing.
And it's the only good part is when he says the words Gojira.
Gojira.
But what's crazy is you and I are going to say the same thing. Go ahead, Jude.
The French guy walks over to this sailor and
who's
says,
"Who's catatonic?"
Who's catatonic? He's staring straight ahead, nothing going on behind the eyes.
Right.
And he goes.
First he says to his translator, ask him what happened.
Ask him what happened.
So the guy says in Japanese to the guy, what happened? The guy doesn't say anything.
And then the French guy says to him,
wait, what? First what does he do? First,
I don't know.
First he lights a lighter.
I don't remember
first
this.
He lights a lighter and waves the flame in front of his face. And then in English said, what did you see old man? And then the non-English speaking Japanese man who did not answer in Japanese says,
Gojira.
Gojira.
Now, out.
Okay, wait. So was he hypnotized?
Who knows? Into speaking English? What are you talking about?
And understanding English.
What are you talking about?
I just didn't understand how the flame played into it, too. It was like, all right, well, this takes people out of catatonia. Like,
the best, the most insane part of that is then, like, 15 minutes later, when the U.S. military are reviewing footage, that scene of the lighter and the man saying Gugina, Gugina are in the clips package that the military has.
How did they get that?
How did they get that?
I don't know, but I'm starting to understand something. Here's what I think. What I was really stuck on, more so than the flame, was the fact that the French guy was calling this guy old man to his face.
Well, the guy was old.
Yeah. I know he was old, but
wait,
that
that's your takeaway?
Well, yeah, because I thought it was really insulting when he needed something from this man.
Oh, man.
Now what I'm realizing is the I don't think that Japanese man hurt him at all. I think whatever he did with the flame made him just say Godzilla, Godzilla, and then he actually didn't even hear and didn't understand what he was saying.
I think you're wrong.
And that the Frenchman knew that he wasn't going to understand.
I have a bigger issue with the fact that the military got footage from this movie to then put it in. Because that's all they did. They just replayed the scene from the movie. Right. It was shot. It wasn't like a security camera. Yeah. It was just like a scene from the movie.
And it basically, that posits the idea that the American military has access to Jean Reno's French Secret Service footage. I'm assuming. Because it's a close-up shot. It
zooms
in.
It is
the shot of the flame and the Japanese man.
And the dumbest part is then Harry Shearer's character later mispronounces Gojira and says, Godzilla. Yes. And then this is how we get the name of the movie.
Yes,
right there.
You're right. That was
to put a button on it.
By the way, crazy. In my mind, when he said Gojira, like, is this a world where Godzilla films exist?
That's what's confusing. Is that like, is there a lore to it when movie starts?
Go ahead.
You're gonna go. I mean, because the original name of Godzilla is
Gojira.
Gojira, right? So like, but I mean, it's not like giant lizard. I mean, like. By the way, I don't even understand how he saw this giant lizard because basically his hand just kind
of... He was in the galley.
He was in the galley and it like a claw kind of game through. Like he didn't get a good shot. It was in the middle of the night. I'm still surprised at how he even made it back to land.
They, in the first 20 to 40 minutes of this movie...
Yeah.
Every 15 seconds, jump to a different part of the world.
Yeah, it keeps on moving. Like,
it would be like Pipette, Tahiti. It would be like Ukraine, Chernobyl, Ukraine, and then New York City, the city that never sleeps.
My favorite.
It doesn't
title.
Say New York. It's just like the Chiron says, the city that never sleeps.
And by the way, it does take 24 solid minutes before it gets to New York City, before the actual movie kind of begins. And then when it gets to New York City, watch out.
How come nobody ever sees Godzilla?
My favorite guy was the guy with the headphones working on the dock.
Yeah.
Just like doing stuff. This is a fucking giant monster that's destroying like the South Street Seaport over there. And this guy's like, no, doesn't even look up at all. Like, how loud is that music?
That was like a very like mid-90s conceit that if you had headphones on, you were
oblivious
from you everything were that was
literally
going on in the world.
Living in a vacuum.
Yes.
You would not feel the giant footprints crashing down, the shaking.
Because you're
earth.
Listening to your music.
Yeah. Man, this Metallica album's really good.
But the thing is, how they integrated the... I mean, it's more about this disaster with all the stuff falling on people. There's constantly stuff falling on people. And the digital effects just looked... To be honest, it looked really bad.
Oh, really bad.
In
I mean, the whole movie,
right?
The whole movie shot in the dark and in the rain to cover up the bad special effects.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's always nighttime.
And they justify it one time. They go, like Hank Azaria is talking about his news story. He's like, oh, what are we going to do? Another lead story on how it keeps on raining all the time? Like, like it's like, he just like, oh, yeah, it's raining. And we're in a rainy season.
Why does somebody say initially, it's like in one of the first shots when they realize that Godzilla's in New York, somebody, the mayor, someone says, well, Godzilla can easily hide in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
How?
What? Yes.
How?
Yes.
How?
Where?
How?
I want to actually play that clip. Can we play that clip?
Where?
This is our clip one here. This is a great.
I don't understand. How could something so big just disappear?
Well, we're not sure, but we're standing
here.
Yeah,
he probably returned to the river.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, look at it. It's perfect. An island, water on all sides.
So?
But like no other island in the world, this is a place where he can easily hide.
Not really.
No, not
he's
one.
In there, someplace.
Not one
not
bit.
At all.
It's not an easy.
None of that is true.
3 million people are there. They can see him at any given time. But this monster—he's
like a 7-story dinosaur.
Yeah. He's 100 feet tall, and he's constantly getting—he's constantly evading people.
Yeah,
it's a giant fucking lizard. They'd be like, "Oh, yeah, I don't know where he went. He kind of
we lost him.
Snuck up on."
What do you mean we lost him? We lost a 7-story dinosaur in Manhattan.
By the way, I also love, this is another dumb conceit of these movies, a lot of Black Hawk helicopters flying in through the streets. Like, they're all flying in a narrow, like, it's not happening.
When Godzilla, the other thing that I was going to say is when Godzilla comes in, he comes in, like, out of the water, and he attacks the South Street Seaport and all this other stuff. For, like, the first 5 minutes, he also comes in and attacks Wall Street, kind of, you know. For, like, the first 5 minutes, every minute or so, a boat falls off of Godzilla and crashes to the ground.
He's covered in boats.
He's
half-eaten boats. It's just
like ticks.
There's one that happens so late in the movie that I was like, wait a minute. There's no way that boat has been on Godzilla this whole time. That is crazy.
It got caught in Godzilla's beard.
Yeah.
The little bit of boat.
I didn't know how that happened.
My favorite line, too, is like Godzilla is attacking, and like the city is like shaking, like boof, boof, and someone goes, "Ugh, not another parade."
Yeah.
I've lived in New York. Parades have never shook the ground.
This movie is like a stunning 9/11, 9/11 pre. I mean, obviously it's pre 9/11, but like the specifics are so 9/11 that it's crazy.
Well, they even say, "Oh, you're gonna say the thing."
Oh, no, go ahead.
Or they even say that thing where they go, this is the greatest disaster in New York since the World Trade Centers were attacked.
But the first 93 World Trade Center attack. Yeah. And to me, I was like, they're treating it, and it's so interesting to watch it now because, like, buildings are falling to the ground. People are like, it's like chaos on Wall Street, all this kind of stuff that we recognize as, like, the kind of hallmarks of September 11th.
Yeah.
But everybody is so glib and so not taking it seriously.
Exactly.
That you can't help but be like, but this isn't how it then happened in 2001, crazy people.
Well, people are like, we got, it was ridiculous. I also love one of the new, like, they're so glib that the news is literally, I wrote down one of these lines, it's like, the city has been destroyed. The Warner Brothers and Disney stores are being looted.
Yeah.
Like, is that what we're leading with? That's the lead story, that the Warner Brothers store is being
That must have been a Sony note.
That's what I think. Yeah. Like, stick it to them.
Yeah. The other thing that I was obsessed with was, like, it's obviously chaos. The city is being evacuated. But, like, Matthew Broderick later in the movie can, like, walk up to, like, a really small mom-and-pop pharmacy and buy out all their pregnancy tests.
Right.
And I was like, and she's like, well, we only have these ones. And I'm like, why isn't he screaming, get out of the city?
Yeah.
We're very close to a murderous giant lizard.
Well,
you stop selling ibuprofen. What's going on?
The mayor was constantly upset. Like, guys, if you lost the lizard, we could just bring people back in. It's an election month.
Yeah.
An election month. Like, you are going to lose everyone that's going to be voting for you. And then also, everyone uses the subway, which was another, like, head to the subway.
Yeah.
Like, no.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no. Like, just, that was so.
Oh, my God. One of my favorite things. So Broderick, at a certain point, because they've lost Godzilla in the city, right?
Yes.
Totally. They don't know where he is. And Broderick's got an idea. He's like, well, no, we have to figure, we don't go find him. We have to figure out, what does he want? So they make a giant pile of fish, right? Like a giant, 12 dump trucks full of fish. They make a giant pile of fish as bait, okay?
Yes.
So
I get that, right? And they're all waiting. It's a waiting game. Okay. Then they cut into, like, the computer center, and there are guys who are looking at computer screens looking for, is Godzilla coming? Is Godzilla coming? In the middle of the computer screen is a giant fish.
Yeah.
It's a giant computerized fish to tell you that's where the fish are. And I was like, this is as bad as Willem Dafoe's stupid Speed 2 computer that was always like, when should I activate? And he would type in, like, now, please. You know what I mean? Like, it was like nonsense. It was like a giant floating, blinking fish.
I also loved in the fish scene that, like, you know, they're waiting for Godzilla, and Matthew Broderick has some time to kill, so he goes over to one of those camera vending machines.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of those very popular
camera vending machines. Buys a camera, is like one of those like disposable ones. Like, well, I'll take some pictures. And he's like, I don't know why he's documenting it on those pictures.
Like, and the crazy thing about that is like the size and scale and impact of Godzilla changes with each frame. It's like when he does come face to face with Godzilla, I mean, this dinosaur is enormous.
No, no, no.
Is enormous. Boats are falling off of him.
100 feet tall.
Okay. Matthew Broderick staring. They lock eyes and have this crazy moment of eye contact.
Meanwhile, and Godzilla's eyes are on either side of his head.
Yeah. So it's make not eye possible contact. At all. So, and he's humanized for a moment, and Matthew Broderick takes a picture of him with his tiny throwaway camera. Godzilla reacts as though he's been blinded by the flash. It's the tiniest flash in the world.
Is that why Matthew Broderick has the idea later to flip on the high beams?
Yes.
What?
Oh, okay. See, I didn't pick up on that.
I just picked up on that because of what you just said.
The flash must have been so small.
The flash is insignificant.
It's a disposable camera flash.
Compared to how huge he is.
The animal is gigantic and it is focused on eating fish. Matthew Broderick takes a picture with a paper disposable camera. The kind that people used to give out at weddings that you would then take and take pictures
cardboard,
of your dick
they're
at.
Cardboard. Yes, they're cardboard.
You know, like cardboard garbage cameras. Yeah. He takes that shitty picture and the animal, you're right, flips out like... Like, what the? What is this? Come on.
He's momentarily blinded.
Be cool, man.
I also am I'm also confused. And I mean, I guess this goes back to the original Godzilla movie, but it's a 100-foot tall monster. And everyone's got their rifles trained, like machine guns. This is gonna really take it down. Like,
well, there are so many scenes in this movie where Godzilla, they draw out Godzilla and find him and lure him to a place. They stare at him for about a minute and then everybody runs away. It's like that happens about five times.
It's always these
in this
dumb
movie.
Last minute, like, like that guy on the dock who was fishing. Like, I'm waiting. They see this big thing coming towards him. Wouldn't you think you'd turn around and run immediately?
Everybody waits.
He waits till the dock starts exploding behind him. It's stupid.
People love to wait in these action movies. Wait until the last possible second. I did love that. I think in this movie, Godzilla is amazing at ducking. Like,
all he
does is duck.
Every time they shoot a missile
Foomp, torpedoes. For something of that size to be so
very agile.
And he's running in these narrow canyons, all these streets. But like, I just don't think that this lizard has the wherewithal to know, like, a missile's coming at me. I'm going to duck this one out. Like, it's just like, well, but he misses. They miss him so many times. Like, they have nuclear subs aiming at him. They have helicopters aiming
Meanwhile, we got to cut to a scene of the French Secret Service keeping tabs on everything. And guys, do they like our coffee?
They hate our coffee.
Not strong
enough.
I thought you said this was French roast. And the guy pulls up a can and says French roast. Like, more milk.
It is French roast. But I feel like they were just trying to throw that in to give the film an international appeal.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, 100%.
Yes, totally.
How can we get the French? Jean Reno.
Yeah, you're totally right. It was like, yeah, this is a world movie. Because Jean Reno is the hero. And also, at one point, dressed like the professional. When he's like waiting in that one room, like wearing the white undershirt and the suspenders. They make him so cheesy. He's like, oh, what? No croissant?
He's not like a donut.
The one thing, though, that is good about this film, and it's better than any of the previous Godzilla films, the one thing they got right was the lip sync. The lip sync on the film is perfect. Which in previous Godzilla films has not been the case since they're all dubbed.
Sure.
The lip syncing is the only positive thing I can say about this film.
I have to say about that female reporter.
Audrey.
She doesn't have the chops to be a reporter. There are so many times in this movie where she's like, don't we have enough footage? Let's go. I'm like, I don't want to go down there. There are rats down here. So she is not...
She doesn't have what it takes.
And she does not have what it takes.
Well, I mean,
so anti-feminist.
I'm sorry, but it's like, we're watching her. She should not be promoted.
Why was she in her bedroom crying?
She's crying hysterically at one point because...
But why, though?
Because she feels like she sold him out giving that the VHS tape labeled top secret.
Oh, yes.
That's a chick thing. None of us would understand that. But I appreciate you here to translate
that. She betrayed the man that she loved in college 8 years ago.
Right.
Who he still has a pictures. Thing for her because he puts his pictures in his toolbox.
Yeah. He proposed to her and then she just bailed.
That's weird. Would a chick do that? Like she, so he proposed, and then she didn't say anything, didn't write back, didn't like. Yeah. That's
is that
really
what
weird.
Between the two of
that's
them?
What they. Yeah, that was. I thought that was strange.
She,
like,
let's be honest. She was a real fucking bitch, guys. Yeah. She like, really. She broke
she sold him
his
out.
Heart.
I also then thought it was strange though
info.
To not have.
You didn't say it was off the record.
To not have her and Matthew Broderick kind of trying to escape from Madison Square Garden together. Like she has. She spends probably about 15 minutes at the end of the movie with Animal.
Yeah, with Azaria. Yeah.
Like, how strange to not put your two love interests together for the end of the movie. It's
completely.
Bizarre.
Well, because I think the true love story is between Jean Reno and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I do want to play the clip of her her reason for apologizing. Like, when she, so basically she steals a tape labeled Top Secret from Matthew Broderick, and then that gets used on the news, and then this is her reason of why she did it.
There's something I have to tell you. Look, I lied to you. I'm not a reporter.
It's raining.
When we broke up and I first came out to New York, I was so sure I'd make it, but I haven't. That's why I needed the story so bad. I just couldn't tell you I'm a failure.
And you thought that made it okay to steal my tapes?
No. It was a terrible thing to do. I never should have done that.
So good.
Good luck with your new career.
Yeah.
I think you have what it takes. Newark Airport.
He goes off to Newark Airport.
He says Newark Airport. Little does he know, Jean Reno happens to be driving this cab and is going to abduct him.
And, by the way, Hank Azaria, who's been watching from down the block, goes, I'm going to follow him.
Yep.
Why?
No, Hank Azaria says out loud to himself, come on, man.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Hang on, man.
Yeah, like he was like, I got to settle this.
Yeah.
I guess Animal just wanted the scoop.
No, I think he wanted to help Audrey. Yeah, like.
But I gotta, okay. I gotta say,
because Audrey's his wife's friend.
If it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for that newscast that she stole his top secret tape, you would never have my favorite line in the entire movie, which is army generals sitting around a giant table. They're talking about what to do, and then you hear like the local like news is like, and now with a special report on Godzilla. Then one of the army generals is like, oh, hey, everyone, hold on. We should watch this. And they turn around and they watch the local news and then they go, hey, that was the top secret tape we gave you. And get out of here, Matthew Broderick. You're fired. Like, it was the dumb. They're in the middle of a intense, like, how we defeat this creature. Oh, hold on. The news has a story. We got to check in. We got to see what Hank Azaria
does. Well, that's the way she gets the tape is, like, Godzilla is literally rampaging New York City. Like,
yes.
Again, thousands of people must be dying. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And he runs into Audrey, and he's like...
At that pharmacy, because she's right. Just walking by. Because
she's walking by, and she's like, Nick! And he's like, Nick Tatopoulos, because yeah. He's Greek, of course.
Yes, of course.
He goes...
It's a Tatopoulos. Or like, yeah, everybody mispronounces.
Oh, that's another running gag. Everybody mispronounces his Greek name, which never happens. but he's like, Audrey? And she's like, yeah. And they have like a meet cute... While a dinosaur destroys the city, and then he goes, you want to get a cup of coffee? What?
Well,
your job is to stop the giant dinosaur from rampaging the city.
She sees him buying like five pregnancy tests, and she's like, she's like, oh, so you've got a harem back home?
Oh my God. Flirting.
A dinosaur's out there.
People are literally dying everywhere.
You could easily say like, over 100,000 people probably were killed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There would be no way to evacuate the city.
No.
So yeah, that quickly. So yes, hundreds of thousands of people are dying.
Here's the other thing. Godzilla, we find out he's pregnant and he's having all these babies. He does it in Madison Square Garden, but no one knows that he does it in Madison Square Garden, which means like I don't understand how he could just lay 200 eggs in Madison Square Garden without anyone going like, I think he might be in here.
Yeah.
I think this might
be. Do they have
a
manager there, to like a night manager?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep an eye on Madison Square Garden.
What are these eggs
doing here?
Well, that's the thing. Nobody seems to know. Nobody seems to have any mode of communication to say like, oh, there's that giant lizard. I'll call in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and by the way, there were cell phones at this time.
Harry Shearer is using one.
Yeah, but they don't use them at a lot of times. They just kind of use them when they want to. But when they go into Madison Square Garden, they see the 200 eggs, and then it becomes like a giant raptor scene, and all these raptors are attacking.
And all the eggs hatch pretty much simultaneously.
Go
ahead.
And they go like, well, we need to get the word out.
The incubation period must have been like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, like those eggs, like penguins sit on their eggs for months. Godzilla lays eggs that hatch within hours.
200 eggs all around. Like literally litters them all around.
But like Alien.
But this is like, yeah, exactly. Like Alien, you mentioned that. It's like, but movie pregnancy is different because things escalate quicker in movie pregnancies.
Yeah.
That's
Alien, Prometheus, all those things. It's just
the
like, it happens instantly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Prometheus, she has a baby very quickly.
We can't waste screen time with that.
But she.
I did love, though, once those baby Godzilla are hatched, they're all trying to escape Madison Square Garden, and at one point, I don't know if it's before or after Madison Square Garden's about to be blown up, but they're running away from them, and I think they shoot a gumball machine or something.
No, he knocks a gumball machine over.
He knocks one over, and all the baby Godzillas run out and all slip and fall.
Yeah, it's like a Keystone Cops.
Yeah. And it was one of the most delightful things I've ever seen.
Well, baby Godzilla.
I loved it.
Is it as cute as the baby Godzilla eating the popcorn, having his head stuck in a bag of popcorn?
Here's what you know what I could not figure out for the life of me is I genuinely felt like the movie couldn't decide whether it wanted us to care about the giant misunderstood Godzilla and his babies.
Yes.
And want to save them. Like, which seemed to be the Matthew Broderick kind of character would naturally be like, no, you don't understand. We have to say, like, he doesn't mean to harm or anything. But Matthew Broderick and everybody else is like, tell them to blow up Madison Square Garden and kill the babies.
Well, but this is...
We have to kill the babies.
Well, this is my favorite part because they go, well, how can we get a word out? We can't use our cell phones for whatever reason. Yeah. Let's go up to the booth because our news station covers all the Rangers games, so we have a live feed up there. So they run up to this booth that's ready for all the great Ranger games reports.
Yep.
And they contact the guy who's at the other news station. He's like, Henry, put us on. He goes, there's no Ranger game tonight. No, there is no Ranger game.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because there's a giant dinosaur rampaging the city, dummy.
And he was like, kind of reluctantly to put, like, reluctant to, like, I may get in trouble for putting you on. Like, no.
We guarantee you're not going to get in trouble.
To your point, Jason, I think that's why they made the Godzilla he, and they kept on referring to Godzilla as he.
Oh, so that it wouldn't be a mother?
Really, yeah, because if it was a mother, I mean, that scene is already pretty painful when Godzilla comes back to life, I guess, after being blown up.
Yep.
And realizes that all of his babies have been murdered. That was a pretty dark scene.
The best shot of the movie was an aerial view of that one dead baby Godzilla on the ground. It's like just like a limp dead baby Godzilla. Like, and then he's like, oh, and that's when Godzilla gets mad. You killed one of his 200 babies. And then all of a sudden, once the final chase is going on, Godzilla is getting stuck like a motherfucker. Like, he can't get... Like, before, he's running through buildings, burrowing tunnels under the city. Now, he runs up to a building, like, can't get in.
Yeah. Like, he's always getting stuck.
Can't get down this hallway. can't get back to this fence. Godzilla is...
Yeah.
For no reason. His tail rips through buildings. Yeah. But now he's like,
He gets caught, ultimately, in a couple of wires.
Oh, that's how they finally get killed. Yeah. The saddest ending. Go to the Brooklyn Bridge.
Where's the nearest suspension bridge?
He says
at one point, where is the nearest suspension bridge?
Oh, and that's the other thing. No one in the movie, like, everyone's like looking at maps of Manhattan, like, how do we figure it out? It's a grid.
Yeah.
Manhattan is a grid. That's it. You can figure it out really. It's like, looks like 34th. Make a right. Like, it's
if
like,
you could have one, they could have handled this situation with one helicopter in the sky.
Yes.
Being like, okay, I see the giant dinosaur.
Exactly.
It's at 34th and Lex. Okay, it's moving north.
Yeah.
Just
stay above it. Don't engage it.
This is where Dean Devlin would have benefited from a writer's room. Because you would have needed just people to just say, hey, that's kind of dumb. This is stupid. People wouldn't act this way.
Nope. Just did it himself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Dean Devlin, after this movie, really, it kind of went downhill for him. I guess he did The Patriot. Oh, he just produced that. But as a writer, not much. It's all producer after that. The last, he did write, oh no. I was going to say Universal Soldier. He only got creator of the characters. Yeah, that was the last movie he wrote, Godzilla.
I did love this scene, though, I have to say, when they're in the French guy's taxi cab, and they Godzilla eats the entire cab, and they're in his mouth.
Oh, when Hank Azaria goes...
We're in his mouth. I loved it. I laughed. That was wonderful.
By the way, it just felt like a Universal ride. Like it felt like the Simpsons ride.
I'm like,
this is like, this is like, it's like, whoa, oh, he's eating us. Whoa, he spit us out. Whoa.
You know, there was also great when the military guys see Godzilla for the first time. There's the dude who's, I believe, a husband on Desperate Housewives. Who's that guy? Who's like the military guy, handsome military guy?
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yep.
He's maybe not that, but, you know, he's a guy who's still around that you see now. And he goes...
Kevin Dunn.
Huh?
Kevin Dunn.
And he goes, ugh, we're going to need bigger guns. And I was like, really? You're going to pull a, we're going to need a bigger, basically, you're quoting Jaws at this point in your stupid Godzilla movie.
I did like the French guy's arc, though, with... Because, I mean, he ultimately became a New Yorker at the end, driving that taxi cab.
That's a cliche version of a New Yorker. Like, what an Austrian thinks of a New Yorker. That's what it is.
I love that that's your takeaway. What's the movie Godzilla like? Well, it's basically a Frenchman's transformation into a New Yorker.
Well, I do love that at the end of the movie, you know, Animal, Hank Azaria's character, has taped this entire thing on his Betamax camera, and then
he cannot get the tape into.
Oh, he can't get that tape into. And at the end, he's trying to take the tape out, and the tape is gone. Then Jean Reno calls up Matthew Broderick, and he's like, I have the tape. I'm going to edit it, and then I'll give it back to you. There's a few things on there you cannot see. What couldn't you see on that tape? We know about everything is public knowledge at this point, right?
The dinosaur destroyed Manhattan.
And is dead on the Brooklyn Bridge.
We've all seen it and lived through it.
What are you going to edit
There's
out?
Nothing to hide.
And then the final scene of the movie.
Do with the tape?
Final scene.
Oh, wait, what happens? Yeah. Well, everything
is a sequel.
Yeah. All of a sudden,
but everything's already been blown up.
Because you go into Madison Square Garden.
But they blew everything up, right?
Well, no, that's the thing. In the locker room, you know, he laid all of his eggs in the stadium seats, but he laid one egg in the Knicks locker room.
Which, by the way, there is no way for him to fit into that locker room.
In an enclosed locker room.
Yeah.
It's almost like Godzilla was like, I'm going to lay all my eggs over here, and then I'm walking over. Hey, what's that? Well, there was one more egg. And it, like, fell into the locker room.
It fell into the locker room. The locker room was not destroyed by the massive bombing of Madison Square Garden.
Nope.
You know, this is a good locker room. And then, crack, 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 baby Godzilla comes out.
Yep.
Which... to me, ultimately, isn't super scary.
And a boat drops off of him.
The end, question mark. Oh, man. Well, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with some Amazon reviews. All right. So, obviously, we had a pretty low opinion of this movie. But there are some people who had a very high opinion. And now it is time for some second opinions. This is from of his reviews culled from Amazon.com. A Dent Aragon writes, Godzilla is one of my favorite movies. The kind I watch when I'm exhausted and all I want to do is relax with a cocktail or a cup of cappuccino and not worry about world peace or cosmic disasters. Sure, the Japanese Godzilla is an American movie after all, but I can't see why we don't have our own Godzilla the same way Japanese have their own baseball and rock and roll.
What?
5 stars.
Amazing.
Here's another one. This movie was good. It had all sorts of feelings in it. Suspense.
All sorts of feelings?
Suspense, sadness, action. You know the feeling of action.
You know when you get that feeling of action.
Oh, you don't look so good. I don't know. I feel a little action.
A little comedy here and there. Plus, it was physically possible. In other words, not fake. All in all, definitely worth a while movie. 5 stars.
Wait, is that person saying that this was a documentary?
Are you correcting the grammar? Because those Amazon reviews are usually riddled with horrible grammar.
I did love, by the way, there's a line in the movie where the looters are looting the Disney store, and one looter says to another, he goes, I got that feeling.
That bad feeling.
Bad feeling before something bad happens.
By the way, you should have gotten that when the giant Godzilla attacked. It wasn't
yesterday, you should have had that feeling.
Yeah, they were looting after the giant lizard was known to be an entity. Like, that's the thing. It's like no one really communicated that there was a giant lizard in town.
Nobody, you never saw anybody say to another person, hey, isn't this fucking crazy?
Yeah. No,
there's a dinosaur? Like, Jurassic Park, they're like, holy shit, dinosaurs shouldn't be here. This is crazy. Everybody in this one is like, we got to get out of here just because. But nobody pauses to be like, dude, crazy, yeah. Right? There's a dinosaur?
People are
crazy.
Pissed they have to go to New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it was.
This is my favorite final Amazon review. To anyone who didn't like this movie, you must have got hit on the head with a coconut. 5 stars.
Well, there's nothing to say to that.
Now, I went all out. I don't know if I get extra credit for this.
Yes.
I listened to the commentary on the DVD.
Whoa! What? Well, what do you have to share with us about that?
Only one interesting thing I learned. I mean, first of all, I learned who did what special effects. I mean, Roland Emmerich, the director, didn't do the commentary. It was just these effects people.
Oh, okay.
But the name of the guy who designed Godzilla, his last name is Totopoulos.
I heard that.
So Nick Totopoulos' character came from.
Oh,
and that guy is hated all over because the Japanese hate this version of Godzilla.
Right.
So much so that the next Godzilla movie they made with a guy in a rubber suit, they kill a lizard-like character that looks like the Godzilla from the 1998 Roland Emmerich
Godzilla. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they're still making Man in a Rubber Suit Godzilla movies?
Are you kidding? They come out at least once a year. There's been a ton of them, but this was Sony's attempt to, we're going to make Godzilla an international hit. We're going to get this the big director of Independence Day.
Yeah.
An Austrian who is going to explain it to the world, and it's just, but then of course they have to set it in New York. It makes no sense. I think also the lack of Asians is a big problem for me. I really feel like that's what, and a fast-moving Godzilla doesn't make sense. I love the idea of a looming, like something that large looming really, really slowly, like slow-moving zombies.
He swims super fast, too.
Swims fast. The weird way he swims.
And he can burrow holes. This Godzilla can just, like he's like a boll weevil or something. Yeah. I mean,
he is exactly like a boll weevil.
Yeah, but they've done
absolutely right.
They've done a ton of Godzilla movies since.
He's just wreaking havoc on our cotton.
And they killed the Godzilla from the 1990s.
I love that
that's
killed
really
that.
Funny.
As an FU.
And they also killed Matthew Broderick's
They killed
career.
His career, they did!
The movie
either
aged
this
him.
Movie or Sarah Jessica Parker has robbed him of his life force.
Would you guys recommend this movie?
No.
I personally would not. I don't think it's worth watching.
No, it's not bad enough to be good, I think.
It's long. The thing is, it's long.
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
It's a very long movie, but
it's not a good bad movie.
Yeah, it's not.
Which is a real thing.
It's a bad movie, and it's upsetting on more levels than one.
Yeah.
It makes you want to see movies with worse special effects.
Yeah.
Just because those original Godzilla movies, there's something kind of fanciful, because in my mind as a kid, I always imagine Godzilla would come and destroy my school.
Yeah.
And the idea that it's like, he's destroying a train set. He's getting to play with these toys. That was always kind of fun that you could see, you could tell it was fake.
Yeah, I didn't feel like he really got to destroy much. He just kind of was always running.
The military destroyed more than Godzilla.
Oh my God, that was the thing. Like, remember, like, oh, we didn't talk about, like, when the military, like, they're kind of, they're always trying to shoot him down, and, like, they literally blow up the Chrysler building.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, the military blows up the Chrysler
building destroyed.
They're like stormtroopers. They can't hit their targets.
Yeah,
I guess when Godzilla was hiding in Manhattan, he was just always in Madison Square Gardens.
Or he was burrowing under the ground.
Yeah, he went into the subway tunnels, I guess.
And to eat fish.
That's all. I mean, like, that was the other thing. I was like, really? All Godzilla wants to do is eat fish? Hey, guess what, buddy? Stay in the goddamn ocean.
Yeah, by the way,
guess what the ocean is full of? Fucking fish, you
dummy.
And by
the way, why was that island perfect? That was the clip we heard. It's a perfect island. No, the island that he was on where they first found his footprint in the beginning of the movie, that's the perfect island.
Yep.
It's empty, and he can do whatever he wants. This is an island where people are shooting at him, and there are buildings.
And there's giant... By the way, to go from where he was in the Pacific to New York City, he's passing through where there's, like, whales, where there's huge...
Yeah.
He could have lived a great life. There is no... What they do a terrible job of, there is literally no reason he comes to Manhattan.
Well, except for the nest of Madison Square Garden.
Wait, so he came because he heard about Madison Square Garden was a great nest?
Well, it's a big, round, like, protected nest.
That 200 is
eggs. I'm serious.
Crazy.
I mean, it's something.
Earlier, you were talking about this movie kind of, you know, sidelined Dean Devlin's career. Also, Roland Emmerich, too. I mean, the biggest thing he's done since, really, is 2012.
Oh, yeah, which is also a huge flop, right?
That was a huge flop. And then also, just look at the Godzilla sort of as a career. You know what I mean? Like, they've tried to make Godzilla an international thing. They're actually developing a new Godzilla at Warner Brothers right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, trying to bring it back.
I hope is still in it.
Yeah, who knows?
But I mean, I think
it's a cameo.
I think that, like, you know, we're in this like world of like these Cloverfield monsters now and stuff like that, and it's like, just bring back the dumb Godzilla that we all love. I think that would be. That would make, I would enjoy like this movie even more.
A big campy Godzilla movie would be fun.
Yeah, that would be actually a really great idea.
Because the whole thing is that actually the fun part of those old movies is they took it so seriously, and that's what made it dumb and fun. But in this, they do not take it seriously at all, and that just makes you hate everyone in the movie.
It's just another
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, I think they just don't know what the movie is. Well, all right, so that is our Godzilla.
Who is that French guy? Okay, let's...
Jean Reno.
No, I know the actor's name. I mean, who was he?
Oh, he... Well, basically, the French did some nuclear testing in the French Foreign Legion.
No, the French Secret Service.
So, yeah, that's what
he basically says. I'm very... This is his... He gives Matthew Broderick... You look so angry, June.
I'm really upset.
He gives Matthew Broderick a speech. He says, I'm very patriotic. In our past, my country has not done some great things because they were the French who were responsible for the nuclear testing that created Godzilla. And so their opinion was that it was their job to clean it up.
Right.
Okay. So he felt like it was France's responsibility to get rid of Godzilla.
Are there any five star? Can we go to Amazon France and see if there are any five star French reviews?
This is the last thing I'll ask. So then at the end, when he has the tape, and I know we've already gone over this, and I'm circling back, but when he has the tape at the end, what is he planning on doing from that point forward?
Jerking off.
Okay. Thank you.
I just want to point out something right here. Like Dean Dev, Roland Emmerich, who directed this, right after Godzilla. He's just made some really bad movies. He made 10,000 BC, which you haven't seen.
Holy shit, that movie's bad.
2012, really bad. The Day After Tomorrow,
bad.
And now he's attached.
That's another Destroy Manhattan movie. What's this guy up to?
I think that Roland Emmerich actually saved the world, and I'll explain why.
All right.
It's dead seriously. I went to the junket for 2012, which they had. You know, 2012, of course, is about, December 21st?
The Mayans,
Nostradamus, everyone predicts is the end of the world. So I went there, and there were a whole bunch of 2012 experts. They did one of those weekends where they wanted to educate the junket attending media.
Forget about the movie. Get into the... Yeah, like that.
2012. So there was all these 2012 experts there explaining their theories about what it is. It's going to be a spiritual reawakening. There are going to be solar flares. The world's going to end. Whatever. I raised my hand and said, look, I said, is it possible that in the mind's eye of the Mayans and Nostradamus, they might have actually foreseen the trailer for the movie 2012? And in their brains, they just saw a movie trailer.
Right.
Because the movie trailer comes out, right? And it says 2012. So they're thinking, these ancient cultures, 2012 is the end of the world. And it's like, no, it was just a movie. You didn't see the end of the world. I mentioned this to Roland Emmerich. And then the 2012 experts, I kind of blew. They were just aghast and annoyed. One of the guys was like, that's a very interesting theory. Actually said that I had a valid theory.
That they saw in the future to the movie.
They saw in the future a movie that came out called 2012 about the end of the world. And so I mentioned this to
Emmerich. That was the reality.
And Roland, I said, you may have saved the world by making this film.
Yeah.
Because that's what the ancient cultures foresaw.
How did he react?
He thought it was funny.
You were escorted from the building. They had me expelled from
the building. Well, he had a sense of humor about himself.
Now, he's directing a big movie with Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx, and Maggie Gyllenhaal about the president, White House down.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically Air Force One, but in the White House.
Because the White House is, as everybody knows, an airplane.
Yeah, of course.
I wonder if Channing Tatum will take his shirt off.
Oh, he has to at a certain point. We have t-shirts. They are our traditional brand new Crank 2 inspired t-shirts. And they are awesome. Buy Ling on them. They're pretty good. Shout out to Chris McCaleb, who donated some money to How Did This Get Made. Thank you so much for doing that. That keeps everything here running. It pays for our amazing engineers and the websites and all that sort of good stuff. Plugs. So, Chris, you do your podcast called Pod Crash.
Yeah, the premise is I'm too lazy to do a podcast, so I just go on other people's podcasts, and then I run the highlights on my show. So,
and where can you find it?
It's on iTunes, Pod Crash with that Chris Gore, and you can get more at chrisgore.com. And thank you for having me.
This is
one of my favorites. It's just, I love that you guys have the same view. I love bad movies. And sometimes, in this case, it's like not a fun bad movie.
Right.
But being here and just watching guys do this live and just being a part of it is a blast.
Well, we
loved Thank having you. You. Yeah. And June, you you have your new web series out right now.
Burning Love on yahoo.com. I'm not sure when we're airing this, but the...
It'll be on. So yeah. You can go to burninglove.com, right?
Burninglove.com, or if you go to Yahoo, it's
But burninglove.com is easier to
Or
go
Yahoo.
To. Yeah. Stop plugging Yahoo. Jason, and you're still in The Dictator.
I'm still in The Dictator. They have not, since
That's
it's been
fantastic.
Released, since it's been released, I have not been excised from the movie. So if it's still in theaters by the time this comes out, please go see it.
I am in Piranha 3DD. If you're one of the lucky people to be near the 70 theaters that it's playing in,
it's on VOD.
It is on VOD.
It.
You can download it as well. We the first week out, Piranha 3DD made a whopping $135,000. So guys,
on 70 screens?
On 70 screens. So if we continue this average in about 30 years, if we continue this kind of thing, we'll make Avengers opening gross weekend.
That's pretty
so
great.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We're on Twitter. I am at Paul Scheer.
At Miss June Diane.
I'm not on Twitter, guys.
You gotta get on Twitter. Yep. I'm at that Chris Gore.
And that is it. Thank you very much to our engineer Cody, Caroline, who does all the stuff on our website, and Dave Steffi, who pulls all of our clips. Remember, if you have a friend who has been in one of these films, and you think they'll have a good sense of humor, tell us about it, because then we'll bring them on the show as well. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.